chapter, which we often reference in proof of the resurrection, the very beginning of chapter 15, the Apostle Paul gives a discourse on those who had seen the Lord and talks and gives names and references of those, including himself, 500, and so on and so forth. Then we get down towards the middle part of the chapter, and I think we see a very interesting proof of the question I have before you tonight. What if Jesus Christ did not rise again? What happened? Where are we left with that? And let's look at that tonight to encourage God's people, to encourage each other as we look at this text tonight. Interesting, if you'll look, if you can, in the very first verse, it says in verse number 12, and this was going on in the time of the Apostle Paul, as he was writing this letter to the church at Corinth, and we actually hear that today. Well, Christianity, it's a good story. It's not really to be taken literal. And you know, the first six books of the Bible, you know, you can't possibly take that literal. And just a little side note to help you out with that, we're having an apologetic conference in the end of September. We're having Dr. Tommy Mitchell from Answers in Genesis here, and I'm really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to that. But anyways, we come and we see this. He says, now if Christ be preached that he rose, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Kind of question mark. So, what are the implications of that? You need to think of that for a few moments. And then we go, it's interesting, he answers the question as he goes through these verses here. But look at verse number 17. And this is really the key verse. There had to be a price paid. A blood sacrifice had to be given. The only one that could pay the perfect price was God himself. And we understand God, Jesus Christ, was God robed in flesh. We like to use the word God incarnate. He came down to earth. And verse number, if he did not rise from the dead, then he wasn't God. It's a fake. It's a fraud. And let's just do something else with our time. Look at verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Is vain, rather. Ye are yet in your sins. I want to preach a message I've simply titled tonight as we walk through and unpack this short portion of Scripture, What If Jesus Did Not Rise Again? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the wonderful Lord's Day, from our breakfast meeting this morning to the wonderful service and the dedication of children to the children singing, to the gospel being preached, to the responses that were given. And Lord, I do pray as we close out Resurrection Sunday 2017, Lord, speak to all of us, pastor and people alike. Help us not just to be able to defend what we believe, but to do it with boldness and clarity. And I pray for those here this evening, maybe those who are listening as well, that each person under the sound of my voice would have an assurance to know where they would spend eternity. Have their sins been forgiven. Prick that heart that's struggling tonight. Guide and direct, fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. I want you to go to Luke chapter 9, if you would. Luke chapter 9, as we walk through this for a little bit. Luke chapter 9. Kind of helps us a little bit with this particular text. I preached through the Gospel of Luke. I spent better part of 3.5 years on Sunday night as we were looking. And we find, as you see the text on the screen, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. So think about it. It's a waste of time. A colossal waste of time if we believe, if we don't understand the importance of the resurrection. And Jesus Christ says some things about this very subject, because he starts out all the way back in Luke chapter 9 and look at verse number 22. He says something here and he starts the beginning of foretelling what will happen. Over and over and over again, 16 times, as I said this morning, 16 times in the gospel records, he makes a very declarative, unambiguous statement, I will rise again. So how in the world can any skeptic that claims to have any part of Christianity claim that Jesus Christ did not rise again? The seminaries are full of people that teach that kind of nonsense, especially in the mainline seminaries. And he says there in verse 22 of Luke chapter 9, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised, look there, the third day. So we see that. So a couple of things. Jesus, first of all, some of the profound implications. Go back to Matthew chapter 16 and let's walk through this. Matthew chapter 16, go there quickly. So what is the first implication of this if Jesus didn't rise? He would be, look here, a liar. And not only be a liar, he'd be a very prolific liar because he said it over and over and over again. Now here's the interesting thing. I have dealt with, worked with many people that are Muslim in my life. In fact, a boatload of people. It appears, at least in the United States of America, the overwhelming majority of younger engineers that work in the engineering profession are from the Middle East or the Pacific Rim, but the overall majority that I worked with, and especially the younger ones, were Muslim. And I had people in my home. I had a very good friend of mine. I will not mention his name because out of respect for him, he's been to this church and he has had my daughter and my son-in-law over for dinner. They're good people. They're moral people. And they care about their children. They care about how their children are raised and what they're not allowed to watch on TV and the education of them. And if you're not careful, you'll fall into that cultural trap of not wanting to confront, and they will say things like this. Here's what they'll say. And he said this to me. He would say, Mr. Fred. And he always called me Mr. Fred, out of respect. By the way, very respectful people. And very wealthy man, too, by the way. He said, Mr. Fred, let me tell you. Come. That was his way of getting my attention. Come. He says, we believe the same thing. We believe the same thing. We believe that Jesus was a great prophet. And the Quran is full. And it goes on and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, don't buy into that. Now, you'll sit here in an independent fundamental Baptist church and amen that. But let's go outside these doors. And we need to confront the culture that Jesus Christ was just, he wasn't a prophet. He was not just a prophet. If he was a liar. He lied. And if the Muslim folks tell you this, and I'm not picking on Muslims just tonight, because there's many on, quote, our side of the fence that claim even to know the Lord that are not sure about the resurrection. By the way, if they were sure, their whole life would change, right? But it says in Matthew chapter 16, I want you to look there. Matthew chapter 16, look at verse number 2, please. Matthew 16, 2. We're going to walk through this. Matthew 16, 2, he says, he answered, actually, I have the wrong text here. Matthew, okay, we typed in the wrong one. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40. I'm sorry, chapter 12, verse number 40. And Matthew 12, 40, please. Look what the Word of God says. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40. He talks about himself. And he's given a reference to Jonah. And he says in verse number 40, Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40, he says, for as Jonas was there 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And of course, this is referencing to his resurrection. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with that generation, shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. is here. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And this is the reference I wanted to go to. John chapter number 10. John chapter 10. Look at verse number 17. So if we understand that Jesus did not rise from the dead, he would be a liar. Look what it says in verse number, John 10, verse number 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Did you see that? And it says, no man taketh from me, but I lay it down myself. And I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Talking, of course, again, of the resurrection to come alive. Now turn back, if you can, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Let's go back there as well. We find, of course, in our text, again, the reference that we find here. And this is the fulfillment of all of that. We find, he is not here. Look at verse 6. For he is risen as he what? Say it. Think about this. You declare publicly, openly, that you will die and you will rise again. And if some say that never occurred, that makes Jesus Christ a liar, and the greatest hoax has been given to mankind in all of history. The second thing he says there, go back to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll stay there for a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 15. He says, our preaching is in vain. Our preaching is in vain. Look at verse number 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching. That word preaching means to herald, to proclaim. Our preaching is vain. It means nothing. What I am doing, what you are doing tonight, is a colossal waste of time, because it never really happened. And you believe that. I know you believe that because you're here. And I believe to be a Christian, you obviously need to have some understanding of the resurrection, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died in your place for our sins. It's very profound. It's worthless. It's a waste of time. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been involved in something? You may have spent hours or maybe even years, and you look back and you go, was that the biggest waste of time ever? Have you ever had that? Maybe a job. You're in construction, sometimes you see that, you know? And my daughter-in-law, she works for a design firm. And I won't give the name of the firm, and I won't talk about this, but it's one of the design firms. And one of their clients is, I believe, is Google. And one of the things they do is Google has a very, they like to plan stuff. And one of the frustrating parts that she has in her job is she will spend 18 months or a year working on a project. She'll turn it in. Of course, they get paid because Google has a lot of money. And they get paid. And then they say, no, we decided not to do that. Now, you may say to yourself, well, we got paid. The company got paid. We made a lot of money. But as an individual and as a professional, you go, I'd like to see my project out there. I'd like something to be done, not to say we decided not to do that. And many of us waste our lives in endeavors or in events or in circumstance, sometimes sinful things. Of, I met somebody one time that said to me, I wasted all those years not going to church. This person got cancer and said, I wish I'd been in church. All those Sundays of bouncing around and watching TV, or, you know, every sports under the sun on Sunday, you know, I would like to have that back. It was a waste of time. And the reason I bring this home is we look at this particular principle. He says our preaching is a waste. Don't bother. It was a waste of time. A colossal waste of time. Number three, and this is really where it comes down. All of these tie together, and they're woven together under the same principle. But in verse number 14, the second part of that verse is this, and your faith is also vain, worthless, empty, Vine says. Faith is dead. Faith in a dead Savior is preposterous and pathetic. He says to the folks here, as Paul is preaching, and he's telling these individuals as he's combating a heresy that has even perpetrated some of the church, that Jesus Christ really didn't rise again. Some of them were saying he didn't rise bodily. It was just a spirit resurrection. One author put it this way. I thought it was kind of interesting. Just listen to this. If you were being chased by a madman, and you had the choice of either running to a house full of people or to a cemetery for help, where would you run? I think we would all run to the house full of people, because a house filled with living people could help you, while a cemetery is filled with dead bodies that can do nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, our Savior is alive. Alive. It's real. When I come before the Lord, I know that I speak to a Savior that hears and answers my prayer, and excuse me, look here, is working in my life. And that is only true because He rose again from the dead. Let me ask you this. Do you have that kind of relationship? Let me park it here just for a minute. You're going through something really awful. And maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you're disappointed. How many of you ever been disappointed in somebody you looked up to? Right? Maybe me. Maybe my wife. And maybe you're going through something and you just are in a state of flux. You're not sure what to do. You are literally at your wit's end, at the end of the rope. And that's where, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, somebody's accepted Christ by faith alone, it doesn't mean it's all going to go all the way and you're going to get the fuzzy wuzzies and the goosebumps. It's great. But I can tell you, I serve a living Savior, and He works in my life every day. And you have that as well. And you don't have to sit there and wonder, is God there? Number four, look at verse 15. And this kind of, again, all of this ties together. It's really the same point. Verse 15, look at it quickly. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. We are spreading a lie. At an individual I worked with years ago, and this individual had a way of stretching the truth. Have you ever met anybody like that, right? And by the way, stretching the truth is a lie. You know, we like to kind of gloss it over. We say, oh, that's just a white lie. Really? What's a black lie? That's a white lie? Like, or we stretch the truth. Or we try to, let's just call it like it is. When you're trying to get a certain impression and it's not there and you know people are going the other way, it's lying, whether it's a direct lie or not. And this person did that for a period of time, and everything was a crisis. Everything was a crisis. Everything was a crisis. This person, blah, blah, blah. So I did something I probably shouldn't have done, and I have confessed it before God, but let me tell you what I did. I got soaked. My wife saying, I know this story. Please don't tell it. I'm looking at her face. I'll sanitize it a little bit, okay? But I did something. I got so tired of this guy always trying to start controversy and stretching things. I left on the copy machine a typed letter signed by me that there were going to be layoffs in the church. Layoffs in the church. There were going to be layoffs in the company. And that was not true. And that's not true either, by the way. And there was going to be layoffs, and it was not true. It was totally made up. I'm telling you, I confess it was a lie. But, and I'm not trying to say ever do this, but I left it on the copy machine knowing he would find it. And he went around, and we knew, I told everybody else what I did, and I said, he's going to go around, and I want everybody to tell him that he's the one getting laid off. Now, is that terrible? I says, you're a pastor. You got to, listen, I live in Realville, USA, okay? I'm sorry. I wasn't raised in this little Christian bubble in a church. I mean, I'm all for that. But I had to deal with some things in the real world. And one of the things that I dealt with, so I did that. And here's the reason I say this and I bring this point in. Let me just say this. It's because of his willingness to spread gossip and lie, nobody took him serious. Nobody did. I didn't. Nobody else did. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Christ did not raise from the dead, we are speaking a lie. Why should anybody take us serious about anything? Really? Number five. By the way, I confessed that to this individual and apologized, and I almost got fired for it, to be honest with you. So, how many of you ever have a good time at work? Yeah, I like to have a good time at work. Have you ever played practical jokes at work? Right? I like to do that sometimes. I got all kind of things. I would tell my wife, she says, I thought you got paid to do work there. I do, but lighten up. Really, I tell you some stuff we do around here, you'd probably go crazy. But anyway, look what it says. Number five, there is no hope for the future. Look at verse number 18. Then they, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are what? Look, all your loved ones, your grandmothers, everybody's, they're all burning in the devil's hell. They're gone. No hope. None. It's pretty depressing, isn't it? The ramifications are profound. Look at verse 19. We'll cover this in the next one. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I'm suffering for the future, not for the present. And that leads to my next point. That means everything we've done is for nothing. Look what it says. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of the future. If he didn't rise from the dead, who cares? You meet our culture. It's like we heard in Sunday school this morning, the testimony. 10 out of 10 people die. We have a world that is marching off a cliff and nobody ever bothers to get in line and says, you really don't have to go there. Nobody thinks about death. The only time they think about death is we're on the 8th floor at St. Vincent's Hospital, or on the, I'm not sure, the 5th floor at Hammett, where they have the hospice people, and then people start, death? No hope. We suffer for nothing. Our critics will say, our academic critics that, you know, the higher end of the universities, they'll say, you guys are Christians because you need a crutch to hang on to something. No, I'm a Christian because I believe what God said and there's hope for the future. It's not a crutch to get through life. These phony baloney academic folks, they'll say that. In a couple weeks, we'll have some Gannon University students I go to their place and they come here and I got another class. Actually, believe it or not, they want me to speak to their seminarians. This is going to really be fun. The guy that's head of the entire, and I got to be careful because this is recorded. He's in head of the entire group. He said, I want you to come speak to my seminarians at Gannon University. Now, how could I ever turn that down? I know, well, you know, you're going to a police. Look, they're giving me freedom, but I'm going to tell them there's hope in Christ. And you know what this guy said? I'm not kidding you. And I'm going to be as graceful because of this message is going out. He said some of those people there don't even believe in Christianity. He told me that. Here's the point. There's hope. And there's no reason that we have to suffer. I want you to go, if you would, to the last part of 1 Corinthians, and we'll kind of close this down. Look at verse 51. Verse 51 of the same text. Are you there? Behold, I shall show you a mystery. Are you with me? We shall not all sleep, but we shall be what? By the way, just side note, that's the text for our nursery, okay? Some of you will get that in a minute. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. Whatever physical ailment you have, whatever discouragement is a part of your life, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. It will all be changed. Amen. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Praise the Lord. That's the hope we have in the resurrection. So when this corruptible, verse 54, don't miss this, shall put on corruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, look at this, don't miss this, is swallowed up in what? Victory. There's victory. Not because I'm some pastor giving out a book of writings from some prophet. No, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and what he said really, really happened. Oh, death is swallowed up in victory. Look at verse 55, I love it. Oh, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Thou shalt not. That's the law. But it doesn't stop there. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through, say it, our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that's good stuff. It helps me when I'm going through problems, when it seems like everything is upon me, when it's a health issue, it's a family issue, it's a church issue, it's blah, 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 blah. And I can say, no, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, verse 58, we'll close with this. Good stuff. Look at verse 58. This could be your life verse. It should be my life verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Say it. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much ye know your labor, remember I taught it was in vain if you didn't raise, is not in vain in the Lord. Man, if I can leave our little group of believers here tonight with one encouragement, be steadfast. The resurrection occurred, and when the devil throws everything in the kitchen sink at you, remember, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's stand together, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, in this message tonight, I pray for encouragement. I pray that you would mightily move. There may be somebody here that you're at the ready just to throw in the towel. Oh, Lord, help us. Give us victory. Thank you for the resurrection actually occurring. Jesus Christ is not a liar. He was God. We're not preaching a lie, and our faith surely isn't in vain. And Lord, thank you for the hope that we find because of the resurrection. With every head bowed and every eye closed, here's my challenge to you tonight.